The following program is brought to you in living color.
This is the time of the year when some of us like to enjoy the odd glass of wine.
What's the best bottle of wine in the whole place?
Norrie wants us to finish this bottle and then three more.
Well, to the wine cellar.
Friendship is the wine of life. The longer we keep it, the stronger and sweeter it grows.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. Now, here's the host, the woman whose glass will be empty before yours, Laura Lawson.
Why is it people who can't take advice always insist on giving it?
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our rapidly changing, great, dynamic little grape. Yes, our preferences in grapes have changed a lot, and that's what we are focusing on today. For those of you who tuned into last week's show, you know that I am on a soapbox. I'm on a pilgrimage. I am actually here to put you and your wine bottle in a room and have you and the bottle on the couch and discuss your relationship.
This is a little too freaky for me, to be honest with you.
How's that?
It sounds more like wine psychoanalysis.
That's exactly what we're doing. This is wine therapy.
Okay.
Now, I have to admit that usually my definition of wine therapy is usually me whining, drinking several bottles of wine, and that's considered wine therapy. No. But what we're going to do to start this year is to analyze your relationship with wine, where you meet it, how you approach it, and what you do with it, so that when we teach you great things in this upcoming year, you'll know why and how to appreciate it. I can teach you all you want to about the varietals. I can teach you everything you want to know about Chardonnay, Cabernet. I can now teach you about Sabering. You name it, I can teach it to you.
Can I speak for the common man for just a moment? And
maybe.
I'm about as common as it gets.
I wasn't going to. Because I'm
not a reach.
Because I am a glass half full person.
You did not jump
did
on
not
that.
Touch that softball that just came right across
right.
home plate.
You could have knocked that one through the soundproof glass, and you chose not to. I'm proud of you already.
Thank you.
All right, let me just ask you this. When we do this, because you're playing with people's minds here.
I'm good at that.
I know. But when we do this, do we not somehow, we're overthinking it. That's what I'm trying to say. Aren't we overthinking this a little bit?
Which is exactly why we're doing it, is because wine is that beverage that everybody insists on overthinking. Because we are in that great chasm of people who still are trying to teach you to smell your cork or swirl your glass, or we have sommeliers running around talking about this wonderful little 1 hectare, 4 vine bottle of wine. We are making wine difficult, and we are coming and cycling back around to that, and I can't stand it.
Okay.
It makes
then
me
why
crazy.
Are we doing this?
Because we are taking an overview of where you meet your wine. We're not talking about why you like it, what you should be drinking, or how you're drinking.
Just
it.
Where you meet
but
it.
But where you meet it, and things to look for, and things to really help you enjoy the beverage. Like last week, I told you the key on being able to walk into a restaurant is to look for that comprehensive beverage program and not be scared that, hey, listen, if I want to try a wine that's been aged in a bourbon barrel, more power to me. On the same token, it is perfectly acceptable to sit there and drink a bourbon that has been aged in a wine barrel. These things are not mutually exclusive anymore. They're not. And it's perfectly normal to be able to admit that wine's not your sole beverage of choice, but they need to be as undifficult and as easygoing as walking up to a bar and ordering that vodka tonic.
All right.
That's,
long as we're agreed that, you know, we're not trying to psychoanalyze
we're
people
not no, look, just,
make people. I don't want to talk about my mother. I'm not going to talk about my mother.
Just because you need to spend an extended period on the couch about the relationships you have with females in your life.
Oh, stop
does
it.
Not
don't go there.
Mean,
you
does did. Not mean that you have to be really porcupine sensitive to having a conversation about relationship with wine.
This chair will go through this soundproof glass.
No, it will not. You have a violent tendency today. Maybe we need
I'm not
to take,
a glass half full person today.
We okay, need to take a step back.
Hold on, let me breathe.
Thank you. Or something. You want to do that again? Maybe it will help your overall demeanor.
Whatever that was.
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So, yes, you are listening to The Wine Crush. Yes, this is not truly psychobabble. We are investigating how you meet your wine, where you drink it, where you enjoy it, and most importantly, how you're learning it. Because that is the key right now. Sacred cows. We want the death of sacred cows. We have spent the last 20 years trying to teach everybody that wine should be part of their lifestyle. It should be part of their routine. Yet we still have people who are all up in arms about what the millennials are drinking. Or we have people that are all up in arms because they don't know if they should be drinking a rosé. Is it okay to drink pink? Is it not okay to drink pink? What's in style today? And I'm sick of it. It just needs to step back, pour a glass, and relax. And people still aren't grasping that, and we have hope now. Because there's so much education at our fingertips that it got to the point. We have actually, you used the concept about a pendulum swinging last week.
Yeah.
The pendulum has now swung the entire other direction. And this is why we're doing the show. If you looked at that pendulum 25 years ago, there were a handful of people in the world that were experts. And the only way you could become an expert in wine was to have a lot of money and travel and buy, or actually work for a restaurant or be a sommelier, or sit down and study Karen McNeil's Wine Bible, which was the comprehensive tome that could also be used for a bank vault doorstop.
Yes.
That was the only way you learned about wine. It was rarefied air when you found a wine expert. Now what's happened is that pendulum has gone entirely the other way. You have more people enrolling in the MW, Master Sommelier, Certified Wine Educators program than ever before. It is about learning. There's online. You can go online and pretty much everything I spent the first 20 years learning about wine, you find it at your fingertips on your phone by asking Siri. That's it. Siri, what are the best vintages of Bordeaux? And so help me God, she'll pop up and she'll tell me.
No kidding.
This was stuff we had to learn. So now that we're at the other extreme of that pendulum, that every bit of information is at your fingertips, we're back to being overwhelmed.
Yes,
totally
we are.
And absolutely.
Because there's a glut of information.
Before we were overwhelmed because it was very special, it was very hard to come by, and we didn't understand it. Now we're overwhelmed because there's too much to understand. So what we're trying to do is to bring the pendulum right back to the middle and to find some rational, even ground.
All right.
That's what we're doing. All right. So we spent the last show kind of touching on restaurants, how to find that relationship, how to build it. There were a lot of things. I enjoyed all your comments. By the way, 877-4CRUSH1, Facebook, Wine Crush Radio, Laura Lawson at Wine Crush, winecrush.com. There are so many places to find us. I want your commentaries on what we're discussing and whether they fit or not. There were some of you that were very, very adamant that electronic wine list and Coravin were not the wave of the future. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. Absolutely not. They are experimenting things that will give you a better grasp of where you are at the moment. And what's great about both of them is they're snippets of information. They're not this overwhelming glut of internet wine porn. And they're right there and they're applicable to what you're choosing as you're building that wine relationship.
Can you review just a little bit for the people who weren't listening last week? Coravin.
Coravin is a wonderful device that has been out on the market for about 2 years. It is it's a wine thief. And it has a very thin needle that goes through the cork, and you're able to siphon off a certain amount of wine from the bottle. And it does not damage the wine in the bottle, doesn't damage the cork, so that you can pull off one glass and go back 2 weeks, 2 months, occasionally 2 years later, and still enjoy the wine as it was meant to be enjoyed without the element of oxygen or without something having damaged that wine. Up until this point, it has really been used exclusively to steal very expensive wines to see if they're holding or to have that $35 glass of silver oak. But what's great is now that Coravin and pricing has come to the point where every restaurant can have one, you can have a 100-bottle wine list and be able to have a glass of all of them. So it's helping you expand not just the knowledge you read, but what you can put across your palate.
All right.
And that's fun and that's cool. So you put those two things together, that's how that business is changing. See, the key on wine is to understand it's not stagnant. It is not moving. Here's a great example. When we think about wine as a whole, it has always been proposed, said, argued that wine has four natural enemies all the way around: heat, light, vibration, oxygen. Those are said to be the four ones. Those are the ones that make a difference. Here's what's interesting is it was put out there that radiation was definitely something, that your wine had been radiated, it wasn't good, that it's a problem, and it will also destroy the wine. So as we look at the natural enemies, oxygen, we've since found that wine to age properly needs a little bit of contact with air. Light, that falls in the category of radiation. There is a study right now saying that ultraviolet radiation actually improves wine quality. That the little bit of radiation that you can actually bring out more of the flavonoids, more of the fruit. This is one of the long-standing sacred cows, that radiation, light, oxygen are bad for wine. And wow, all of a sudden we're looking around saying, maybe we had that wrong. That's why it's important to sit back and look at your relationship with wine. You are at a situation where you have been taught that wine is sophisticated, that wine is something for special occasions.
This is above us. We cannot know this.
Exactly. Right. But when it comes down to it, all of us supposed experts, and I will throw myself in that category in a heartbeat, we don't really know. We're all learning together. And that is the most important thing, whether you're going to make your relationship with wine in a restaurant or make it in a retail environment, understand nobody is right. Karen McNeil comes really, really close to being perfect and being an expert. But even then, as technology changes, as science changes, as worldwide acceptance of wine changes, we're learning that there are mistakes and there are ways we can grow together. So if there's mistakes in what we have assumed as the long-standing laws of wine, it means that you have a chance and you have an obligation to make your own relationship, and who knows, maybe you're going to be the one that teaches the rest of us what else we have always thought was right is wrong. We're going to take a quick break right here. When we return, we are going to get back into looking at perhaps your retail relationship with wine, how you found it, how you make it, and how it's going to be different this year.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention, business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
It's the Wine Crush.
I was thinking about you today. Oh, what a big surprise.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are wine psychoanalyzing how you look at wine, how you feel about it. No matter what Kent says, we're going to take that perspective on it.
Are you Laura Lawson or are you Dr. Laura today? Which one?
I think if I went ahead and announced myself as Dr. Laura, there'd be a whole different group of lawyers knocking on our door than there used to be. So, no, I am not Dr. Lawyer yet. All right. So, we've looked at restaurants. I've given you my trends. I'm sure we will discuss them more as I get your responses on Facebook and get your commentary on it. But today, let's take a look at where you go buy your bottles. Let's take a look at that whole industry. Preliminary numbers are starting to come in about wine consumption, wine purchases. You ready for this? Preliminary numbers have us buying $2.6 billion worth of wine in a retail establishment.
Now, this is everybody, not just you. Okay.
Yes, this is everybody. Hey, I make a nice living on the crush. I don't think quite in that level. Uncle Warren and I are not that close. All right, so I want you to buy bottles of wine, $2.6 billion. Stop. Have a moment with that. Now, what's even more interesting is that's an increase of 4.7%.
That's what I was going to ask you. Comparison numbers. Going up and why?
5% up. There's a lot of people, and that's kind of the key of what we're going to get into as to why that number's up. If you ask all the screaming clown monkeys who are getting out of the clown car and who are taking their hands and going up and down and screaming, millennial, 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 that's going to be their answer. But I don't think so. Here's the reason that we are seeing this growth in wine. Number one, it's become more of a lifestyle choice. People are enjoying, they are finally accepting that the pendulum has swung and that, yes, they can go get it. Two, being able to have access to it. You notice I keep saying retailers. The list on this can go on and on. Whether it is a bodega, whether it is a wine truck, I'll get to that in a second, whether it is a grocery store, a drug store, a convenience store. You have your mega marts like the BJ Sam's of the world. You definitely have your liquor stores. You have the wine stores, wine bars, and I haven't even scratched the surface on the whole plethora of online wine availability out there. Even Amazon in August announced it was going to do same-day wine service in Seattle. So you look at something like this, wine, literally, you can buy anywhere. And so as such, we've seen the growth. We see people going up. So now the question becomes, how is your relationship with wine affected with this? Now, again, giving broad numbers, here's what's fascinating. The tastes are shifting, definitely shifting. But even I have preached over the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, that Americans talk dry and drink sweet. That's my line. You talk dry, you drink sweet. But we are slowly seeing people who have experimented I'll go ahead and say the people with the white Zinfandels and Moscatos, they're moving on into different things. I'm not saying they aren't drinking softer rounder, but it's changing. Again, these are preliminary numbers that'll be interesting to see the final ones on it. Leading the charge is my precious Chardonnay. 19% of what is purchased is Chardonnay. So go ahead.
Interesting.
People can say that anything but Chardonnay, Chardonnay is dead. My favorite people were the ones who always said Chardonnay is dead. Chardonnay didn't die. It just quietly decided to relax and let its other cousins come forth. But Chardonnay is still number one. Cabernet is number two. Here is the testament to my wonderful Wine Crush listeners who listened to me and listened to my show when I kept telling you that wine and grapes play well with others. The biggest growth trend we have seen has been in the red blend category. It has grown 8.7% last year, red blends. This is where the growth is coming from, and this tells me that people are willing to experiment. They aren't going to look for what their father drank, their grandfather drank, or what some sommelier says they need to drink at $120 a bottle, no matter how great it is. We're going to try something fun, and that's what I like to see. So keep that in mind as we analyze your relationship with wine. When people try and explain to you that you need to try rare, different, strange things, no, you don't. The bulk of the people, Chardonnay, Cabernet, Red Blends, Pinot Grigio, there's your top four right there in order. So whatever you're drinking, it's perfectly acceptable. So stop letting anyone tell you that what you may be drinking is commonplace. If you like it, drink it and don't worry about it.
So that's why wine consumption is up, because people aren't buying the myth anymore that I either have to be drinking expensive wines or it doesn't count.
No, and it's funny you bring up that. The average price per bottle, and I'm not going to do the math, I'm just going to kind of glance down this, but basically the average price per bottle seems to be in the $7.50 to $8.25 bottle. So we're spending, on average, $7.50 to $8.25, and that's perfectly acceptable. It's a great place to be, and there are so many wines out there at that price point that if you want to focus there, great. But also it means there's great opportunities at the higher end. There are also some nice ones at the lower end. It just depends on what you are in the mood for. Not what you think you ought to drink, not what you've been told to drink, but what you're in the mood for. All right, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we'll get into the differences you say at retailers and what you can do to help bond with that relationship with your bottle.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backsplash. I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up,
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a... I want to be
a... I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We are continuing our series on building your relationship with your bottle of wine. And today we are looking at how you make your relationship with that bottle of wine in a retailer. And it's going to change dramatically. All right. So we're looking at how retailers are reacting to the changes we're seeing, whether it's on what we buy, how we buy, when we buy. But the most important thing they're paying attention to is we're all a bunch of sluts. Absolutely, 100%. We are very promiscuous.
Ooh, speak for yourself, please.
Yeah. 10, 20 years ago, we found a brand and we stuck with it. That was what we bought, whether it was BV, Kendall Jackson, Yellowtail, Fat Bastard, Robert Mondavi. These are the wines. EJ Gallo. These are the ones we went home. One of my best friends. The world was going to end if her mother did not get that 3-liter jug of Hardy Burgundy. Those days are over. 45% of us have tried 7 different brands on the last time we've been into our retailer. What this means is when you're shopping in your store, you're willing to try something different. You're willing to branch out. You're willing to try different things. You don't have to have the same thing over and over again. So we're going to see the decline of the cash cows. We're going to see the tried and true brands take a bit of a hit. It's not a bad thing. It isn't, because people are growing. You can't have the same wine, same generation, over and over again. I am still a fan of Riuniti. I am still a fan of Paul Masson. I am still a fan of Cella. I'm still a fan of Lancers and Blue Nun. But they had their days in the spotlight. They had their days where those were the go-to brands. And I think this is the year we're going to see a shift. Here's what I think is going to be fun, is I'm not really sure if one brand powerhouse is going to be the one that comes in and takes over that leading lady spot, but rather a multitude of them. Now, to do that, your retailers are looking at different ways. Every retailer I have discussed, whether it's on East Coast, West Coast, Canada, down in the South America, They don't really understand today's buyer. That's you. They don't understand your motivation. It's not necessarily sales. It's not packaging. It's not brand. So what is motivating you to do that? This is why we're going to see some cool things coming out of retailers. Number one, let's start this. Millennial, who cares? It's not about why they're buying wine, it's what they're buying. And in focusing on things, how they're going to shift and what retailers are going to do to make the business better to help you build that relationship. I had mentioned early on in these shows that technology is going to play a very key role. This is one of the forefronts where technology matters. Obviously, we all know that our phones, our iPads, our tablets, they're geared to us. If we're on the internet, they actually have apps now that if you're close to a Say I'm close to a Panera Bread, that my phone will pop up a coupon for Panera Bread, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is starting to happen with wine consumers when you have signed up for these the apps, when you have signed up saying I'm going to like Murphy Good Chardonnay, you can have an app on your phone that will let you know where Murphy Good is close to you. And as more and more of this happens, your retailers are going to have to respond to it. One of the best things to come out of this is the fact that pricing is coming down. All across the country, you had various pockets of wine where they thought they could get away with, oh, I'll charge $2 more than my competitor. I'll charge $15 more than the competitor. Because there's so many places to buy wine now, because it's so accessible and we so know where it is, everybody has parity on it. You're no longer going to see these price swings between $8 and $10. It's going to be fair market value. That helps immensely. Again, it takes that point of reference where wine's expensive, it takes it out the window. There's not going to be as much variation as we have seen in the past.
Do you think prices will stay down?
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with the next point as we look at how things are going to change. Here is my one warning shot. I am not going to play Chicken Little. I have seen wineries. I have seen what their productions are and what they're releasing. And on the high-end wine, there's less wine out there. Mother Nature was not kind. It is not one of your glut years. So do I think that wine is going to be stable? Do I think we're not going to see any price increases? No. But I don't think we're going to see what we saw in 2007 where wines jumped $20, $25, $45, $55 a bottle. I think because there is going to be that parity, it's not going to be as adamant as it has been. So there's your warning shot for those of you who might like high-end California reds. You might want to pay attention and get it while you can because it's going to be harder to find. But conversely, the better side of that is, or the more interesting side of that, there's going to be some interesting things out there. We're going to find people who have decided, hey, I couldn't make that 100% Zin, but man, I can put this Zin, this Grenache, and this Petite Syrah together and make something very interesting. And it goes back to finding those red blends and being willing to experiment. So, in summary, as we look at our retailers, the pricing is better than it has been in a long, long time. We owe that to the fact that the internet has made it fair and people know what they should be paying. Secondly, we have access to our phones that can tell us what's available where. And so I know where I can get it. I know what I'm supposed to pay for it. So now what do I get there? What do I do? This is where it's going to be interesting to watch our retailers come in. Something that retailers have always done is advertise sale wines. Hey, we have a whole bunch of sale. This tag's on sale. This wine's on sale. Everything's on sale. That we're going to start seeing going away too. The whole concept of I'm going to mark up wine so it kind of lines up with restaurants and then I'm going to let you think you're getting a discount. We're speaking in truths finally when we look at retailers. We're actually getting a true sense of cost and we're getting a true sense of value. So because of that, it's easier for us to gauge what we're buying, when we're buying, and how we're buying. It's easier to gain that relationship. To put this into perspective, I want you to think about the last time you went to your grocery store or your liquor store to buy a bottle of wine. Generally, all retailers, most retailers, have the philosophy that the more expensive wine is going to be on top, the less expensive wine is going to be on the bottom. That's how the shelves are laid out. That's how it's done. It is, it always has been, and forever shall be. Okay, let's hope not. But ultimately, as we look at those shelves, think about it. This wine, $19.99, on sale for $8.99, yet it's still sitting on that fourth shelf. Or how about the wine that's usually $3.99 that, go ahead, we're going to discount down to $3.79. Did it move? No. So what we've seen is a lot of price manipulation based on shelf position. And here's what I love. Absolutely love it. The death of the eye level. I want you to think about, I want you to go back, put that grocery store in your head.
Mm-hmm.
People fight for that shelf that's eye level. They always have. Now, Kent, here's something that retailers have finally understood. How tall are you?
6'2".
So what's eye level for you?
Just below 6 feet.
Okay. I am 5'3".
Okay.
Flat footed.
You're a shelf down.
I am at least two shelves down,
yeah.
Eye level. So why have we always dictated pricing? Why have we always dictated position from our retailers based on eye level? It doesn't make any sense. So you're going to see better use of wine displays. You're going to see people advocating regions. You're going to see people advocating varietals. You're going to see things grouped together that you may not have seen before to help get you excited and to try things. Especially, you take the fact the death of brands, you take the shelf changing. And so what's going to happen is you get a chance to start clean. You get to look at things and don't feel obligated to look at the top shelf, or you don't feel obligated to look for the same brand you have always bought. You don't always have to buy Laura Lawson Chardonnay. So in doing this, the psychology of our retail shopping is going to change. And since that's going to change, our relationship with the bottle is going to change. So we're going to get a little bit deeper into that. Again, if y'all have questions, comments, 877-4CRUSH-RUN. Email me, LauraLawson@WineCrush.com.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at WineCrush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now 1-800-829-5735. That's 1-800-829-5735. Again, 1-800-829-5735.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
These heels, all they're good for is walking through your door.
laying on your bedroom floor. Good wine and bad decisions. Hey, little loving. Never hurt no one. Good wine.
Here we are again. It's The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. For those of you who are still with us,
you
not
like
crying
that.
Over in a corner. My God, do we need to go back to the relationship conversation?
Actually,
did the couch bring this out of you?
I just zoned out for a minute while I was listening to that.
Yes,
that was kind of interesting. Who is that?
You did it. I don't. Why are you asking
know,
me?
I didn't label it properly.
Oh, God, help us. All right.
Okay.
So we are doing our psychoanalysis of wine, how you buy it, when you buy it, and where you buy it, so you can understand more about what we're going to teach you about wine being part of your lifestyle. So I gave you some heads up on what you think you're going to see, and I think we're going to see from retailers. Here is something else that's going to be cool, and it's going to be an increase around the country. I touched on this in last week's show, that we're going to find a lot more people that are enrolling either in the Master of MW classes, the Master Sommelier classes, certified wine educators. A lot more people are taking the step and getting wine educations to be quote unquote experts. We're also finding a situation where there is a glut of sommeliers out there because, let's face facts, it is cool to be one, and a lot of people are going to be employed as a sommelier. But generally, sommeliers have worked in restaurants. Generally, that has been their training. Even if you look at a sommelier's background, they know how to cut cigars. They know how to recommend liqueurs. They know how to actually go through and do a tea service. But now the restaurant jobs aren't going to be there. So we're going to find our retailers more and more employing true wine experts to help people among the stacks. And I think that's going to be a great thing, because the sommeliers that go and work for these wine shops, wine stores, and I'm not just talking about your high-end, I only sell $100 Cabernets. All you have to do is watch the great documentary on Costco or BJ or all of these great box stores, and they've got wine experts that are working for them to help y'all find the best bottles of wine. Whether you look at your grocery stores, liquor stores, these wine experts are really there, and a retail wine expert has to have a certain personality. They have to be engaging. It's not just about being able to open a bottle and pour. They have to have passion, and they have to have energy to be successful, and that, and they have to understand their market. And in doing so, it's being excited about recommending that $10 bottle of wine as well as that $1,000 bottle of wine, and this is going to be good for you. This is going to help you build that wonderful relationship with your bottle, because these are no judgment zones. These are not people who are coming in who are going to be condescending because you want that bottle of Kendall Jackson. They're going to say, great, here's our KJ, but we've got this wonderful Sauvignon Blanc that you might want to try as well. These recommendations are going to help you build your foundation. And it shouldn't be something that you're scared of. It was funny. I was with a group of people recently. All of them were sommeliers. And they're talking about how people would much rather walk into that wine section, grab their phone, pull up their apps, and see what social media and crowdsourcing was saying about the wines they were going to pick. When's the last time any of you went to an airport?
6 months.
Were you standing in security?
Yes.
Did you have to stand aboard? Did you have to look at that group? You have to look at the group of people who were all compressed on that plane when you had the 2-hour delay?
Absolutely.
That's crowdsourcing. Those are the people who are recommending wine on your wine apps. You may not know them. They may not highlight. They may not have little buttons above their heads when they're sitting there. But when you actually are in a situation where you would rather look at your phone and have random strangers give you advice on wine than to talk to the wine expert or sommelier that's there right in front of you, I need y'all to check that impulse. Granted, we have joked and laughed about the fact that there are some sommeliers that are a bit difficult. There are some that aren't even certified or qualified, but we're going to have better people on the floor, and trust them. If you speak candidly, if you are honest about what your current relationship is with the bottle of wine, hey, I am a Moscato drinker. I am a white Zinfandel drinker. What do you have? What do you recommend? And as long as you're truthful, they can help you find something else to expand your horizons. And that is going to be key. So as you look at what's happening in retail, You're going to see great prices. You're going to see shelves change. You're going to see stacks change. You see brands change. But you also need to learn that the person who's there to help you is not there to judge, is not there to be ugly. You need to be sure you're capable of having a dialogue. I realize a good portion of today's people are not good at having a dialogue unless it's through a text message, thumbs, or smiley faces, but you're going to have to learn to talk to somebody. And once you do, I think it will help you find a good bottle of wine. Because as we proved at the top, as people are trying red wine blends, as trying Pinot Grigios, Fumé, Sauvignon Blancs, you're willing, you're interested, just take the next step and trust. And I think that can make a difference on how you see wine and how you view wine. I'm going to put one last little aside on our retail, on your wine relationship out there. And this is something for those of you who are truly collectors, and these are the ones for aficionados who really do care about vintage, region, and what's going on. The gray market is dying. It is slowly coming to an end. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about the secondary wine market. All you have to do is look back and look at the conviction of Rudy Kernowian, or look at the Christie's getting called into question for selling fake wines. There has been a plethora of artificial price raise, price gouging, fake wines, counterfeit, that have totally swamped the gray market. As such, people aren't being trusting of what's out there anymore. So as people don't trust the gray market, they're going to have to go and find other sources, other alternatives, which means they go back to retailers or they find different bottles. So because of that, again, the wheel is going to turn. We're going to find different things in our retailers. We're going to find different things that are out there, and we're going to find some more really, really good wines because we're going to have to. We're going to take one last quick break on The Crush. When we return, we will wrap up how you look at your relationship with wine and what we can do to help you in the coming months.
Stick your nose in it. Don't be shy. Really get your nose right in there. Really. A little citrus. Maybe some strawberry. And, oh, there's just like the faintest sousson of like asparagus. And there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
Wow. Strawberries, yeah.
Good.
Strawberries.
Yeah.
Not the cheese.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
We continue with another exciting episode of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. I hope everyone has enjoyed these shows back to back on looking at your relationship with wine, whether it's from a restaurant, whether it's from a retail perspective, and at least help you get a handle on what you can see differently. And that way you won't go into shock when you see these come to fruition, and you can know what to anticipate and get excited about as you go out to embrace wine into your lifestyle. Something I did not get to fully explain and go into were wine trucks. You'll see some of these, but this will be a new fad. Everyone understands food trucks. For states where it's legal, you're starting to see wine trucks. Trucks that drive up, they're going to have wines. They're going to be sponsored by wineries. Not only can you buy a glass, you can buy a bottle. This is going to be fun to watch, and I can't wait to see what the legislator does by the time they get done with this.
Is this everywhere or just
it's certain states. It's going to be seeing how things work. But the key to both everything, whether it's restaurants and retailers, is times they are a-changing. You do not do things exactly like you did before. We're really going to see the crest of the wave and the changes in this business. And the most important thing you can do is embrace it and enjoy it and know that it goes back to the heart and soul of wine as a beverage. That's all it is. No one needs to take it seriously. No one needs to be gloating over it. No one needs to have pride over it. And no one needs to be scared of it. When push comes to shove, it's a fruit. And in doing so, there's a lot of wonderful things that can come from it as long as you're willing to embrace the fact and stop being so serious. So as you plan how your relationship is going to be with wine, whether it's casual, whether it's permanent, just the most important thing is to enjoy it. As always here in The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson. And I'll talk with you next week.